We're going to call our teaching today, Living as God's People Before the World. Living as God's people before the world. That probably is the biggest challenge for us as Christians. It's one thing believing on the Lord and trusting Him. It's another thing to walk each day before the world and as believers. And we all of us feel inadequate. We all of us feel that God's made a mistake. What witness am I? Is the world influenced? Are they interested? And so on. And the enemy can become very vocal and very condemning. And particularly when you've missed the mark, you think, well, that's it, you know, what's the point? But we have to come back to the power of God that redeems us. The power of God that has saved us. This power, the Bible shows us, is God's power that created the heavens and the earth. We've only got to look up in the universe. We've only got to look up to those myriads of stars. We've only got to just look to this world. Everything that runs, that's preserved and kept, all by the power of God. It's utterly mind-blowing. You can't even begin to conceive it. That is the power that has saved us, called us from the foundation of the world. And there are times we need just to reflect and think upon that, because it brings everything into perspective. Amen. It makes us realize what we have just sung, not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. Yes. It brings everything into perspective, because God's people have to be reminded that we are preserved and kept by this very power. And this very power that has preserved and kept us and saved us is the power that glorifies God's name. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. In other words, glorify his name. The problem is, God doesn't show us these things as we would like. And there's always a reason. There's always a reason why God doesn't show us our witness. Was I a witness today, Lord? Did I stand up for your name? Was I a defender of the faith? What did people think? I made a blunder today. I wasn't a very good witness. What did they think? You know, the enemy was so vocal. All these things that go on in our mind and in our thinking and so on. But I have to come back that God never makes a mistake. Did God make a mistake in choosing the children of Israel? I mean, you think about it. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush and he said, I'm calling you to go to Pharaoh. He's going to reject what you say. Moses already had word that God had called Israel a stiff-necked people. He had all of this understanding, and yet he still called him as the great prophet. He was really, in many ways, God to the children of Israel. And he called them. He knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He reminded him of the rod that he placed in his hand. He calls out this rebellious nation into the wilderness. Pharaoh on his tail. He performs these great miracles before them. What is that all revealing? The glory and power of God. And yet God, he knew what he was facing. He knew what God had called. A rebellious, stiff-necked people. God has called you and I in Jesus Christ, and we miss the mark times again, and yet it's all for the glory of God. And we are preserved and kept by the power of God. You see, I have to come back, as Isaiah says, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens, so his ways are higher than our ways. And in our limited minds, we try to understand God's ways, what God is doing, and so on. We never will. And this is why we have to walk by faith. And this is why we make so much of it. Because we are living in this world as God's people. Now, what does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul or members, having your conduct honourable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter wouldn't have said this unless the power of God, the word of God, could not do that work in us and through us. Like everything, the scriptures don't make a mistake. And this is the greatest challenge for us as true believers, that we present ourselves each day to this world. The idea of this presenting ourselves is like somebody who has invented something. Let's say they've invented a new aeroplane. This is real special. This is a real invention, real latest technology and so forth. And I don't know whether you know, when they do this sort of thing, all the press come, all the photographers are there, all the reporters are there, everything. The world is looking at this great plane as the hangar doors open and out it comes, and they're all observing and watching and looking at this new invention. That is how this speaks. That is what this is saying here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. He's saying this is how God presents us to the world. My creation, my handiwork. I have put my life, my power, my spirit in these people I've chosen and called from the foundation of the world. That's what he's saying here. That's what it means. Now, like all things, we let God be God, because he makes no mistake. You may think he makes a mistake. You may think, well, I don't feel anything like this at all. But that's what God has done. As he says here, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We know that. Having your conduct honourable before among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Your good works, your faith, your conduct, your belief, your holding on in confession against all odds, when everything is always against us. Every day when we face this world, it is against us. And God says, those very conditions are where I glorify my name and I manifest you to the world that they will see. And there will come that great day of visitation when all groaning creation will see the sons and daughters of God. There it is. And they will all observe and watch and see this great sight, how God redeemed and chose a people out of this wicked, vile world that it's become now, as God has spoken to us. He spoke to us today in prophecy. We're like Noah. We've got word, we've heard, we've seen the signs. Everything around us is telling us it's all going from bad to worse. And he's equipping us, just like he did with Noah. I mean, you think how Noah built that ark. I mean, they didn't have machinery and shops to go to and DIY and all that business, not at all. He was being revealed by the Spirit of God how to build this huge craft that was going to withstand the great flood. Because when that ark began to rise above the earth, we're talking about the foundations of the earth also opened up. We read that, what happened, you see. That all this water in the depths of the earth and all the currents and that all came up as well. It wasn't just coming from above, it was coming up from beneath as well. So can you imagine the currents, the swirl, that was going on? And this craft that he's built has got to weather all of that. It was being carried around like a cork, in a sense, you know? So God made no mistake in preserving him and his family and all the animals that went in two by two. I mean, how do you think that happened? All the animals on the face of the earth at that time, how was it that they went into this boat? How did that happen? Only the Spirit of God could have done that. He worked in them. And it was a male and a female. All were called to go into that ark. And a lot of those animals, in a sense, went into sleep. They went into hibernation at that time. I mean, you couldn't have the animals like elephants and giraffes and hippopotamus all running riot inside there. I mean, these are powerful creatures. So they all went into a form of hibernation while God was judging the world. Look at how God was working. And we are going to see the same again in these last days. We're going to see the miraculous power of God working as we make ourselves ready, as we're getting into that spiritual ark. The Spirit of God is going to revive us again for this very thing. And they will be the signs of the coming of the Lord. That will tell us clearly the rapture is very near. When we are being revived and moved, just like at that time when the animals started to come in and the family started to come in, that was the Spirit taking over. And the Spirit is going to take over exactly the same as when we're ready for the rapture, the snatching away. Because it's all there in the Word of God. How's it going to happen otherwise? I thank God that he didn't come sometimes, because I wasn't ready. I think sometimes if I've missed it or I've sinned with my tongue, I think, Lord, thank you. The rapture wasn't at that point. I wouldn't have gone in. You know, it hits you. And so there has to be something. And that's why Jesus said, didn't he? Watch and pray. You will discern the times. You will know it. It won't catch you unawares. The overcomers will be ready. It won't be like a thief. It will be a thief for much of the world because they're not ready. But we are ready. How are we ready? We're being made ready by the word, by the anointing, by our gathering together unto him, baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is how we are being made ready. The anointing will speak. He will equip. He'll do it, you see? So praise God for the mercy and grace of God. You know, he sort of quickens this to one. And the world will know that we are God's people. The world will know when they haven't been caught away, that they have been left behind. The world will know. So it's all speaking for itself. We have everything to gain in this walk. If God before us, who can be against us? You know, we don't have to miss out. We don't have to miss out on the rapture. It's all there for us. We just have to move with God and do what he says and asks and so on. But we are in the flesh when we do overcome. And there are times that we do sadly miss it. But God has provided a way. He has given us access to his presence through the blood of Jesus. Now, what does James have to say? James chapter 4, verse 1, James 4, he says, Where do wars, fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? And so these pleasures have to be crucified. And that's why we take up our cross daily and we follow the Lord for this very purpose. Because otherwise we lust for these things, we covet, and we fight, we war, we bicker. All these things that the world tries to lure us in. The Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against these things. You have to remember you cannot war against these things of the world, the spirit of the world. It will consume you. You have to believe that God raises a standard against the enemy. He is the one that raises this. He is the one that you allow and let him do it and don't resist it. You are my banner. You are my resistance. You are the one that raises this up so that I can stand against the powers of darkness. I can stand against these attacks, these allurements, the things of the world, the lusts of the world and everything, because we still live in the world. God's kept us in the world for a reason.
Should I take him off?
You see? So this is why we allow the Spirit of God in which to do this. And James speaks about this here in chapter 4. And he says in verse 5, or do you not think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's the humble. It's as we acknowledge these things. Don't ever be blind about the world. I've heard too many Christians in the past, probably done it all ourselves. Oh, I can stand against the world. The Lord's greater than the world. You know, the enemy's defeated at Calvary and I have the victory and so forth. Only to find you go straight out and fall flat on your face. Oh, what went wrong? You know, I was confessing all the right things, believing all the right things. What went wrong was because you were failing to see the one who raises the banner, who fights for you, who's overcome for you. You try to do it in yourself, you see. And the cross will always work in a way where you yield over to the Spirit and the Spirit takes over. Jesus had to yield to death in order for resurrection to take over. Do you know that God in flesh, to yield to death, was not on God's agenda? Death was never meant to be. The idea of death, Adam and Eve, was not known. It's just a word. Satan was presenting a word. If you eat of that, will you die? What did they know about dying? What did they know about death? They're just words. Until, of course, it happened. And then in time, they realize what those words meant. So death was never meant to be. And certainly where God is concerned. And we're told, aren't we, in Philippians 2, that Jesus divested himself. He emptied himself. He took upon flesh. He came as a servant. And he was going to die. Yeah. God doesn't die. God is eternal. Amen. What are we talking about? God is going to die. Mm-hmm. And that is what he had to contend with. That is what he's going to face by going to the cross. And it says he gave up the ghost, the spirit. That's what it says. What does that mean? It means he finally stopped fighting. He surrendered as God in flesh to death. What a humility. What a humbling. These are things that we cannot fully understand in the Godhead, that he's about to die, not only to take on the sin of the world to atone, but he is to die. That is the requirement, that is the punishment, that is what his Father says you have to do in order to be reconciled. That is what he fought against in the Garden of Gethsemane. When it's like he swept drops of blood, he said, Father, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What does he want to pass? Dying. We're used to dying because that's what sin has done. We go to funerals. We know all about it. We know the results of what sin has done. He didn't. At all. And he says he gave up the ghost. He finally surrendered to that one thing. But God never left him there, you see. The power of resurrection raised him up. It defeated Satan. It exposed the powers of darkness. It has given us a new hope. A new future, a new eternity. Everything is new now as a result of resurrection. And that is why we too go each day in our walk spiritually, in order that we come to the end in our situation, in deliverance, areas of our life, we have to come to that end where we surrender, then through the death, that resurrection comes. Amen. It's that resurrection in us that is the witness to the world. That resurrection, when we can embrace the unlovable, when we can turn the other cheek, when we can take the blame and not say a word and go like Jesus as lambs to the slaughter, that is the resurrection power that speaks to the world. That is what God is working through you and me and all those who are listening to the deeper life. So don't be in despair. God knows what he's doing and he's going to do it. Praise God. You see? And that's why we go through the trials and the testings that we do, and we stay with it, we remain faithful, we keep coming, we keep listening, we keep in prayer, we come to the prayer meetings, we do all those things that God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do, because that gives him something to build on and build through, you see? This is why a lot of churches don't grow. Because they don't have their prayer meetings as they should. And when they do, it's always just a handful. I know even when I was in the denominational church, we used to have a prayer meeting once a month in the evening, Sunday evening. It was only a handful that ever went. And I used to go because I, you know, was in a holding a position in the church and I felt, well, you'd better go there. It's, you know, you're holding a position. You've got to be an example. But God was using all of that. That's always gone on. Trust me. And it goes on in a lot of charismatic churches as well. But we know what God says.
Yeah.
And we just yield to it and we do it. And we pray. We come. We listen to the word. We allow this word to do its work in and through us. Why do I stress this always as I bring this now to a close? Because this is the building block spiritually of building this spiritual ark. As Noah had to physically work with wood and so on, so it is spiritual now. These building blocks are being faithful to the body, faithful to the word, faithful to the meetings, faithful in prayer. They are the spiritual building blocks that are building this spiritual art that will get us ready for the rapture. They are the wise virgins with that extra vessel of oil. Why are they wise? Because they have seen it by the Spirit. You see? They're weak. They're just like the rest of the world, but they've seen something. And that's what is different. And they yield to the Spirit to let the Spirit fill that extra vessel of oil with oil. The oil of the anointing. Because you see, that oil is light. You see, when the virgins trim their lamps and the lights go on, the call goes out, the bridegroom's coming. And what happens to the foolish? Their lights are going out. They haven't got enough oil. There's the problem. But the wise ones, they've got that oil. They've paid the price. And they said, hey, hang on, our oil's going out. Can we have some of your oil? You know, no. You can't have it. I need this, but I can tell you where we got it. And do you know something? I believe that's beginning to happen. That's beginning to happen now. I'm finding in my ministry and online, I'm telling people where to find it. They're asking questions. They're asking questions about the deeper life. And I'm finding now, this is where you get it from. This is where you get it from. They're suddenly realising that it's not working, what they thought. These leaders that they followed, it's not working. All this charismania and all this hype that goes on, it's not working. And there's a remnant. And I'm seeing it starting to happen. Starting to happen. Because we walk by faith.
Amen.
And they're starting to see this now, you see. And I give God all the praise. The Lord's leading me to write now on Instagram. It's not just talking. He's leading me to write now long things. Some of them are starring these. They're listing these, what I'm writing, so others can read this. They're beginning to realize. Now, it's not about me. It's what we stand for. It's what we believe. It's what we're preaching, you see. And they're now realizing that what they've held to, a lot of these things, is not delivering. It's not delivering. It's just man giving a load of false promises, you see. I mean, I've told them their revivals are finished. You're all looking for revivals. They're finished. We're in the times of restoring now, restoration. And some of them have immediately seen that. They've seen it, you see, because they're discerning the times that we're living in now, you see. They know things are bad. They're seeing the falling away. You don't need to be very spiritual to see that. Boy, I mean, you know, you think you've heard it, you think you've seen it, and then you find, you know, a few days later, something even worse comes up, you know? So they know. It's just we point them in the right directions, and we know where to point them. Those wise virgins who have prepared, they know you have been equipped, and when you're asked or whatever it is, you know exactly where to point them to. Because that's where you've been. That's where you've got it, you see. And then they see it. We've got to face the fact that there are five foolish virgins amongst our circles. They are. But God in his grace and mercy is going to save. And we know that because we see in the book of Revelation, there will be a remnant that will be saved. A remnant out of Israel will be saved. But they're the times that you don't want to be around. Believe me, they are not the times, because the Antichrist will come forth with great vengeance. Great vengeance. And that's not a time that you need to be around then. And we won't. By the mercy and grace of God. That's why I hold to the little Philadelphian church. You read it if you're feeling down or you feel, you know, you just read that little church, not much, few that are faithful, faithful to the word, faithful to Jesus. And look what he says, I will preserve you from the great judgment that will fall on the whole world. That is the only church that is commended for that. Where was the last judgment on the whole world? The times of Noah, the great flood. That was the last one. So there we are, just a few. Hold on, faithful to the Lord and everything. So there we are, living as God's people before the world. However you feel, whatever your week's been, whatever you've done, doesn't matter. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. God knows how to glorify and advertise himself through each of us and through FGA and all of those who are in the room, holding on, walking by faith. God knows how to work through you. Because there are people out there whom God is calling, who are sensitive, and they are watching. They are watching.